I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome into the Insiders. I am James Tan. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia, filling in for Kyle Maxson. No Joe Brazil today. We were two-man band. We're, of course, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. You can find us on ESPN 1320. You can find us on 98.5 HD2, youtube.com/ESPN1320, where you will find the Chatty House that is in full flow this morning, going crazy like always. And, of course, you can find us Twitch. You can download the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen show wherever you listen to your podcast. Welcome in. What's going on, Jesse?
Nothing much. It's been a bit of a little hectic morning so far, huh?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
A little start. Yeah.
The first thing that happened was I'm sitting here and I'm trying to pull the video up, and sure enough, the camera is at like some weird angle, and yeah. I keep checking the camera and I'm like, hey, what's going on here? It's not that camera. There's some other camera that's laying down on the side that's like capturing me from like this weird angle. And I'm like, what is happening? And then it's just kind of...
For the stream, yeah, it says it sounds off. We'll get it fixed up right now. I'll hit up the engineers. We had a bad day yesterday on StreamYard yesterday, so we'll get that fixed up. But yeah, radio, we're fine. I see we're live, so we're good.
Radio, we're fine. And they can hear you on the radio. They just can't hear you very loud here on the stream.
We'll get that fixed up.
Okay. Well, we'll figure it all out here in just a few minutes. But... it's kind of the way it goes. You gotta play through, right?
Yeah, it'd be nice if we had more than 15 minutes to get it all fixed up, but you know.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jesse. Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about. I've been here for a while. Welcome in again. We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about today. The NBA Finals kicks back off. The NBA trade rumors are just like going crazy at this point. I don't even know what to say. There are so many rumors floating around. The Kevin Durant decision, it looks like it's almost upon us. It's something that we're going to touch base on because I think it matters. I think it matters who is in that sweepstakes and what it might mean for the Sacramento Kings once he does land somewhere. Jesse, this weekend, it's a big weekend. It's Father's Day weekend. And I just want to check in. You know, we talked about sports earlier in the week and sort of your first memories of sports. But what's your best Father's Day?
Best Father's Day? I guess it's just been lately. We've been doing barbecue. Like, me and my brother have been barbecuing for my dad, and I feel like that stuff is cool. Because I feel like you hear fathers talk about, oh, Father's Day, like, I still got to cook, still got to do that. And it's just more so like my pops have been able to just kind of lay back, hang out, and then me and my brother kind of take care of him on that day. So I feel like lately it's just been more that. Because, like, as kids, it's like, oh, mom, can we get this for dad? It's like, we got to use mom and dad's money to get it and stuff like that. So it's just more so being able to do things for him as an adult, I guess.
That's cool. And taking things off his plate, that's always nice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the wife always says, like, what do you want to do? And I'm always like, I don't really care. Like, well, she's like, well, do you want to just stay at home? Or do you want to go to an A's game? You want to go out on the boat? Like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I don't know. I, like, in all honesty, I don't really care all that much. It's one of those days. I spend time with my dad a little bit on Father's Day. That's for sure. But overall, like, it's just kind of a weird weekend where a weird spotlight is put on you as a dad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're like, okay, this is different.
And see, I still haven't gotten to that part of life, so I haven't gotten to experience that yet.
Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to have little Jessies everywhere?
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Jonathan, by the way. Sounds back. Warren says, we're good. This is why the engineers are the best in the building. Shout out Jonathan, Matt, and Seth.
That's right.
Yeah. We're good now.
Sweet.
But yeah, no. Yeah.
Now my audio is low, according to somebody. I have no idea.
All right, like, we'll get it fixed up, guys.
We're just going through, trying to figure. It's a Friday, people.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Kevin Durant might get traded. What do you want?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the NBA Finals are in full swing. Like, we got all kinds of things going on. Let's get to this Durant thing because I think that there are certain players that hold up the market, mm-hmm. right? And the market hasn't really opened yet. It's open, but teams, it's sort of frowned upon to make a monster trade right now.
Yeah.
Because what the NBA doesn't want is for someone to pull away from the NBA Finals, right? The NBA Finals are center stage in all of sports right now. You've got the NHL Finals as well, the Stanley Cup Finals, but realistically.
That was great, by the way. Actually, I was watching that game. I was bummed out. I turned it on. In the first period or whatever, it's like, all right, let's get tapped in and see what it's looking like and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 3-0, and I literally let out, like, oh, like, just bummed out because I was like, looking forward to it or whatever, and then Edmonton starts to come back, and that series has been amazing. That's just besides the point, but yeah.
So I was watching, me and the wife went out to dinner. It was on in the bar, and I was watching, I think we were watching the third period. So we watched the goal with, like, 23 seconds left or whatever mm-hmm. it was, which was incredible. And the level of play, like, in the Stanley Cup Finals is always crazy, but the intensity of playoff hockey is wild. But, like, again, the goals that were scored late were just bonkers. But then I left after the third period. I didn't actually watch the overtime. So I now know who won.
Yeah.
The Oilers won 5-4, and leveled the series at 2 games apiece. But still, wild. Like, playoff hockey is cool to watch.
Hockey should probably be a lot more popular than it is, but I don't think the NHL cares to make it more popular.
I think it's funny. We've talked about hockey for about 90 seconds, and that's the most we've ever talked about hockey on this program.
We're big hockey guys over here. Shout out Draisaitl.
Okay.
You had the game winner yesterday, I believe.
It's funny. Kyle and I, we have very, very similar tastes.
Yeah.
In not only sports, but what we watch and what we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, it is what it is. Like, we, both of us, we just don't watch hockey. We also were not big college football fans.
College sports is tough for me as well.
Yeah, it is.
Like, watching it compared to the NBA and college football to the NFL, it's like, this is not good.
Well, not
only
is
it. You watch college sports for, like, the tradition, I guess, which I don't even know how much is there, and just stuff like that, like the camaraderie, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Well, even if it's good football, the problem is that it's always lopsided.
Yeah.
Like, there's always one team that is so much better than the other team. And so you're like, okay, what exactly am I watching here? This, like, who wants to go watch a game that the betting line is 48 points?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the point spread. You're like, one team is going to win by 48, and then they cover all the time. You're like, how in the world are they covering that? And it's like, well, because they shouldn't be playing the team they're playing.
Yeah.
But there's money involved, and that team wants the money to play that really good team. They don't care if their players get just drubbed. So college sports has always been kind of strange. I don't watch a lot of WNBA, although it is something that I need to pick up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, look, how many sports can you watch, and how many because I think you're learning very quickly. You're getting married later this year. There's only so much you can ask your significant other to watch.
Yeah, like, to be honest, right now, the Kings games, like, that's work. Like, she understands, yep. That's work. Celtics playoffs, that's not work, but that's like, hey, we got to lock in here and all that. And then Sundays during football season, she's kind of like, yeah, like this Dolphins time or whatever. And she's watching it with us now, with me now, my family and all that. But yeah, it's kind of, you got to pick and choose a bit.
Well, that, and that's what she's doing right now.
Yeah.
Like, wait 4 or 5 years
from now.
Well,
we've been together for like 13 years, though, already. So it's like she knows what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that she does, and she's willing to accept that. But, like, asking someone, like, hey, I'm going to take on another sport that I watch. Mm-hmm. And the wife's like, wait, no. Like, how many times do I have to walk into the room and watch an A's game?
See, but I think I've also, too, like, kind of, like, she's learned to love sports as well more. Like, she loves going to the Sharks games and all that. Like, once the playoffs get here for the Celtics, she's all turned up and all that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think
I've kind of worked it out. I've kind of not brainwashed it, but like, hey, this is pretty awesome too, you know?
But
I do that with her as well.
My wife has always been that way. Like, she was that way for like maybe 15 years into marriage. And then she's like, okay, I'm going to cut back a bit. I'm not going to, you know, like while me and the oldest, she kind of like handed it off to the oldest. So me and Toby watch football all day on Sundays. We watch, you know, soccer before that. But I think she like saw her escape and like, hey, I'm going to go work out or go walk around the lake. You guys go ahead and watch your stuff.
Oh yeah. That was my mom. Like me and my dad and my brother back then, whatever, we watched a football game. She's like, yeah, no, like you guys go ahead and go through your little loser nonsense that you guys do every year. And I'm going to go shopping.
You're losing.
Like, mom, no, they're going to win this year. It's like, yeah, sure, son.
No, the Dolphins are not going to win.
Sure. Whatever you say, son. I'll be back in 3 hours.
That's funny. Okay, so let's get back to it. The Kevin Durant stuff. I think there are players that hold up the market. And again, the reason why we got on this tangent was because a lot of times teams hold off on the big announcement until the NBA finals are over. So they're not pulling away from like the excitement of the NBA finals and distracting, becoming a distraction, right? The last thing you want to do is you know, turn on the NBA finals pregame and it's nothing but Kevin Durant talk and where he's going, the new team he's going to and how he fits there, right? And so I think it's kind of a cool thing that this is the way the league works. Every once in a while, a big trade is announced. I remember, I think it was it Kyrie that was traded during the finals? There was a player that was traded during this time, but, and everyone's like, wait, you can make trades right now? It's like, yeah, you can kind of make trades. Where are you at with this list of teams? Because there are a group of teams here that do matter in one way or another for the Kings. So as of right now, it appears per Shams and per like so many other people out there, the Rockets, the Heat, the Spurs, the Timberwolves, and the Knicks are all in the Kevin Durant sweepstakes. We're talking about, is he 36? 37. He's under a 1 year deal, but which team are you kind of hoping to see him go to?
This morning I saw him kind of narrow Shams. I think he was on ESPN this morning around 9. Kind of narrowed it down. I think not narrowed it down, but like said the Rockets, the Timberwolves, and the Heat were the most involved in him right now as far as that deal. And if I were to narrow it down to those three teams, I feel like Houston would be the best.
Okay, so the Rockets, the Timberwolves, and the Heat.
Yeah.
Okay, and I've heard nonstop that the Spurs were leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, like, that's been the team that's been kind of around. I mean, if he goes to the Spurs, like you can't. I don't know how you're going to stop De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Durant, and Victor Wembanyama.
Unless you got to give up Fox in order to make that deal happen.
Well, yeah, that's different. And I think in that case, I mean, Wemby and Kevin Durant, I'm not going to scoff at that or anything like that. But you look at the Rockets, and they were the second seed. I believe they finished the second seed last year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they finished as the second seed. Have the playoff success that they wanted and all that. They're Kevin Durant away from, I think, taking the next step.
Okay.
Where it's like, oh, Kevin Durant's here. Okay, now let's start talking potential title contenders with Houston and all that.
Like
the Spurs are the obvious answer, I think. But if you look at Houston, it's like, all right, now it's time to take them a little bit more serious.
I really like what Houston is building. I'm a little leery on adding a player like Kevin Durant because he does leave a wake of destruction when he leaves. And I don't know if it's going to happen this time. He's 36 going on 37. I don't know if you're going to have to give up everything to get him, but when you see that there's this many teams involved in trying to trade for him, okay. Like, it starts to, like...
Is it safe to say, like, is it fair to say that he leaves a wake of destruction every time he leaves? Because, like, I don't think he told Matt Ishbia to go trade for Bradley Beal. and the stuff with the Nets, like that was more Kyrie Irving and James Harden doing what they do.
Well, either way, though,
welcome out. It's just like Kevin Durant. I feel like maybe he's become the scapegoat in there.
He's not the guy who lights the building and it's blowing up behind him as he walks away. He's not Jimmy Butler, because that's who Jimmy Butler is.
That's a good one.
He is like a real life.
Jimmy's going to hit that explosion button a couple times.
Yeah, he's the action hero that loves to like walk out of a building after setting off 14 grenades and rolling them all out together and like as he's walking out the door. Kevin Durant. He cripples franchises by what it takes to get him and then whatever they have to give to on the way out the door. So, like, again, Phoenix is never going to be the same. Mm-hmm. Like, Phoenix gave up so many picks, and not only that, but they gave up Mikal Bridges, they gave up Cam Johnson, they gave up, like, all of these pieces to make that move, and you got nothing out of it. I mean, you didn't get a finals run. You didn't get anything out of it. I mean, this last season, they didn't even make the play-in.
Yeah, no, it was bad. They were the Kings this year. All the dysfunction and all the stories, I mean, we weren't all tapped into Phoenix or anything like that, but if you paid attention, Budenholzer and Nurkic didn't like each other. The locker room didn't really seem to get along too much and all that. Like,
yeah,
it just
but...
It didn't work. They were trying to tell Bradley Beal, hey, like, you want to leave? We kind of don't want you here, so, like, do you want to leave? And, like, that was the whole issue.
And then he kept saying no.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine here, and I have a no-trade clause. Yeah, it to me, it's really, really interesting, like, how this entire situation is working out in Phoenix and what it means for the rest of the league. But I do think that we're going to have a solution very soon. And that's a good thing for the rest of the league, because there won't be, like, this one logjam player holding up everything. And so I'm kind of intrigued to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We keep hearing, I feel like I've kept hearing or seeing, not I don't have no sources or anything like that, but just seeing on Twitter sphere and all that stuff, just looking around, is like next week for Kevin Durant. And if it does, it's kind of after that, how quickly does everything else kind of play out as far as deals? Like, because we think this is the first domino to fall. It's like, all right, well, the Kings are looking to move off DeMar DeRozan and stuff like that. Who's waiting on that, if anything? Or teams that missed out on Kevin Durant, maybe they have a plan B and all that stuff.
Yeah, I also think we're going to have to wait and see if we get past the Kevin Durant situation. Mm-hmm. And then the Giannis situation pops up. And then that holds up the entire league as teams are building these like gigantic deals. I would say this. There's an indicator here that everyone is so hyper-focused on Kevin Durant, including, again, the Rockets, the Timberwolves, the Spurs. Like this group of teams, even the Knicks, the fact that they're all in on Kevin Durant shows you that a lot of people around the league feel that Giannis might not be available.
Yeah, I don't hate that, but also I feel like if you're Milwaukee, might be, unless he says, hey, I want to be a Buck for life, it might be that time to like move on. If you look at everyone's assets and what the Spurs got, what the Rockets got, what the Knicks got, like, you'd have interested teams. But
yeah, there's also something else sneaky. We're going to talk about it when we come back from the break. There is a reason why everyone is hyper-focused on trades this year and why a lot of teams around the league, a lot of people around the league, believe this is going to be one of the wildest off-seasons that we've seen in a long time. We're going to touch base on that in just a minute. We got to step aside. We're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. I'm James Hamm. He's Jesse Tapia. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll see you in just a minute.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Jesse Tapia is filling in for Kyle Madsen, who was at Wrigley last night catching a Cubs game.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about that, by the way. Let me pull up his tweet if I can.
Okay.
Did you see his tweets yesterday?
I liked one of them. I don't know. It was like just a shot from, I think, the first baseline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so you only saw the first baseline. So I'm not going to be able to pull up Twitter. It's just the way it's going right now. But Kyle bought obstructed. You go pull up his Twitter if you're able to on your own. He bought obstructed view seats, and there was just a pillar right in front. Right in front. And it's just like, like, Kyle, I'm sure his dad laughed it off. But if it was me and my dad, I probably would have got slapped upside the head or something like that. Like, look what you did.
How big was the pillar?
Bro, it was like I said, pull it up. It was enough to was like, I can't see beyond center field and a little bit to right.
Oh, boy. Okay, so.
And like I said, he was taking care of and all that, so it worked out. But I saw that. I was like, oh, that's a tough bet right there.
Oh, so they moved him?
Yeah. I think Manny might have been able to use the Chicago connections to get him hooked up and all that stuff. Because you saw the one where he's on the right field line and all that. Like, that's where he ended up.
Okay. So I've got to see this. No, oh, yeah.
It's horrible.
Oh, yeah. That's not good. And that's behind home plate, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's, it would be a great seat.
Yeah, if there wasn't a big-ass pillar right there.
What are you doing putting a pillar right in the middle of the seats?
Well, construction, stuff like that, I'm sure.
Well,
it's got to be there, but it's an old-school stadium and all that stuff. They probably weren't thinking it through, but...
I understand a beam, but typically if you're going to have a beam like that, you don't put the beam smack dab in the middle of the seats.
Do you see, you got the picture pulled up. There's a seat directly right behind it where it's just like, if you have that seat, it's like, why did you even pay for this?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you can't even, you can only see the person to the left of you and whoever's to the right. No part of the field.
Oh, wow. And not only that, but it's like one, two, three, the five seats behind it.
It's the five stooges, whoever bought those tickets. It's the five stooges.
Yeah, it's the dudes who just did no research at all. Shout out to Kyle for not doing any research and buying an obstructed view seat that's really, really, it's a nice seat.
Yeah, if it says obstructed view, believe it. But like I said, Kyle got taken care of and Wrigley looked dope yesterday from what he was posting. So shout out to Kyle and his pops.
It's funny, Kyle said, to be clear, they said obstructed view online, but I was like, how bad could it be?
It could be pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
It could be actually really bad.
If I'm going to a Cubs game, I now know... never, ever, ever buy an obstructed view seat.
I think he's hitting Fenway today or tomorrow. I think he was leaning towards today. Fenway has those type of obstructed view seats. So, Kyle, if you're listening and it says obstructed view, don't buy that ticket.
Don't buy that ticket. You're literally going to be behind the green monster.
Exactly, yeah. You'll be the guy putting up the numbers on the green monster.
That would be so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Totally, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to go, inside the big green monster and
they've done some behind the scenes stuff where they take you back there and there's just all kinds of history and all that stuff. Fenway's so dope. I want to get out there one day.
Yeah, and they still do it all by hand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah, I would love to catch a game in Fenway. And I'm super excited for Kyle and his dad. What a great trip.
Yeah.
And what a great trip on Father's Day weekend.
Oh yeah, it's got to be probably a trip of a lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. And Kyle's been, we talked about this yesterday, 14 or 15 different stadiums. He's been to a lot of baseball stadiums. Mm-hmm. I have not. I've been to like five.
Yeah, I was thinking about it yesterday. I'm pretty. It's just Oakland and Sutter Health, and then
Oakland,
Oracle
Sutter
for
Health,
me.
Oracle, and then I've been to old Yankee Stadium, mm-hmm. and then I've been to Candlestick. Watching a game in Candlestick was miserable.
Baseball game?
Yeah, a baseball game.
Yeah, I've only seen football there.
Yeah, so the problem that you have with Candlestick is the wind swirls, and so. There's literally trash and dust flying up. Like, if you're not wearing sunglasses, like, you get stuff in your eyes the entire time. And you're like,
it's called culture, James.
This is miserable.
It's called culture.
No, that's not culture. Yeah, it's bad culture. Yeah, it's not pleasant at all. It's not pleasant at all.
I saw my first game at Candlestick. Shout out was my first Dolphins game ever. It was Tim Rattay versus AJ Feely. Yeah, AJ Feely, I think. Quarterback battle.
I thought AJ Feely was a kicker.
Jay Feely is the kicker. AJ Feely is the quarterback.
That's not a good matchup.
Little Jesse was just happy to be there. No clue. Dolphins won, but it's like, yeah, looking back. Oh, who started this game? Oh, wow, it was Tim Rattay and AJ Feely. It's disgusting.
I saw a 49ers-Chargers game at Candlestick when I was young. Mm-hmm. We had field passes before the game, which is wild. And it was the season where Jerry Rice had, I believe he tore his ACL and then came back in the same year. And then I believe he broke his kneecap in a playoff game or in one of the last games of the season, something like that. It was his only injury season.
Yeah. Shout out to the Niner fans in here. Lotus Prime. Tim Rattay was a dark time. Casey Tucker, 2003 Candlestick is rough, Jesse. Yeah, it was not the quarterback battle of the ages, but I had fun. I caught Chris Chambers' glove. He threw it out to the fans or whatever. My dad got it and gave it to me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, shout out Chris Chambers.
All right.
I was talking to Kyle about him last week. Oh, yeah, it was great. Probably had 6,000 yard seasons or whatever. We looked. Only had one. Whatever.
Yeah, Dolphins.
As a kid, you just you play up everything in your mind.
Oh, I forgot about Chris Chambers.
Yeah, shout out Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was kind of built like John Taylor and like Debo. Mm. Just kind of like a burly dude.
Yeah. Kingston used a couple of those guys, huh?
Yeah. Okay, let's get into some of the other stuff that's going on. Number one, I teased something at the end of last segment. To be honest with you, I can't even remember what
it was.
We were
talking about the Bucks. I said now would be the best time to trade them more than ever, just given all the assets everyone has. Like, you can probably come out pretty well, even if you trade them to the Knicks. But also, I'm not trading Giannis if he says he wants to be a Buck for life, because, like, you don't trade players like that. But if he's kind of like, yeah, we'll see how this season goes and we'll talk next year, it's like, nah, we're going to trade you this year then.
Well, they're in the worst position ever because, you know, Middleton just stopped being an NBA player, unfortunately.
I don't know. Just injuries caught up to him.
Yeah, and then Brooke Lopez got old.
Mm-hmm.
And then you traded for Damian Lillard, which was supposed to be this magical move, and Damian Lillard is now
old,
35 going on 36 and has a popped Achilles, and he won't play the entire season, most likely.
Yeah, tough. Like, you traded Drew Holiday away from that to do that, and just kind of ends up on Boston, gets a ring, and it all just got thrown back in your face.
Yeah, this is a really, really bad situation for Milwaukee, because I don't know how you rebuild that team, because even though you have, you know, again, Brooke Lopez is a unrestricted free agent, and you were able to get off of the Middleton contract, you brought in Kyle Kuzma, who did absolutely nothing and was, to be honest with you, he was horrible. He was horrible for your team. So that's a problem. So now you're stuck with that contract, although that might not be the worst contract. But you're so far, your salary's so high because of Giannis and Dame, and then Dame can't play. And so, like, how do you get better as a franchise? And
you do it by calling up the San Antonio Spurs. Hey, we have Giannis Antetokounmpo. We'll take De'Aaron Fox or the number two pick.
Yeah, but then if you're Fox, you're not going to resign in Milwaukee.
We'll take the number two pick. Number two pick it is then.
Well, it would have to be the number two pick and then like five other picks.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. But that's just kind of, that's just, how do you say, just the biggest part of the deal right there. That's the big part where it's like, yeah, of course you look for other picks and salary filler and all that stuff, but it's like, all right, now we restart this rebuild with the number two pick at least, and it's not just so dire where next year you're trading Giannis for the fifth or something like that. You know, you're in a much bigger, if you're Milwaukee, you can put yourself in a good position. And again, if he says, no, I want to be a Buck for life, then yeah, you figure that out forever. But if you talk and he's kind of like, you know, let me see what we can do this year and we'll talk again next year, it's like, nah, it's time to make that move this year then.
Yeah, I think that they're in a really, really tough situation because there's no way to ever replace Giannis.
That's the thing. So you try to do as best as you can, I think.
Yeah, it's
now,
like, hey,
is the time to do that.
Let's say you get the number two pick and then you get like four or five first round picks because they have a bunch still. Mm-hmm. But then on top of that, you give up Devin Vassell, you give up Keldon Johnson, you give up Harrison Barnes. That gets you there. They're going to want Castle. So maybe that helps them a little bit. They've got at least one guy in the number two pick to build around. But you're like starting over. And again, no one that you're going to be able to acquire is going to be a top three NBA player. And that's why every team in the league should at least call on Giannis and should be offering every single thing that they have in order to get Giannis, because he's a top three player in the league. He's, what, 30, 31 years old, 31.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he's slowing down or anything like that.
No, he's going to be
outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now building a team around him isn't the easiest thing, but the Bucks were able to do it. They were able to win a championship with him. You know, we're talking about multi-time MVP.
Look at the Knicks. Like, you fell short of your goal, got to these conference finals. That was great, but we all saw the Carl Anthony Towns stuff, and we don't know. I don't know if that was from the team or what, but if you feel like there's kind of a move to be made, I think you do have the assets to go after Giannis. Like, that's one where it's like, hey, Milwaukee, if you don't want to be so bad, we can trade you Kat and whatever player, Josh Hart or whoever.
Yeah.
And kind of give you a pick there as well. And
I mean, just like looking at where the Bucks are, if you are the Bucks right now, you're tearing it all the way down. Mm-hmm. You're like, no.
San Antonio is the one you look at first, I feel, but
yeah, just give me
all the
picks.
It's just all the options. Like I said, if you want to kind of just, we want to win still, I think you have that with New York. And this is all hypothetical or whatever, but yeah, I think they have options. Aldridge Jay says Celtics should trade Jaylen Brown and picks for Giannis. I don't disagree, but Celtics got their apron stuff that makes it difficult, I believe. So
yeah,
that's not happening.
The apron stuff is really, really difficult. Mm-hmm. They like, you can't aggregate contracts. I think going out, you can, I think, aggregate contracts coming in because they're over the second apron. The deal has to be a net negative trade. You cannot, even like you can either match salaries or it's got to be lower that you're taking back. And it's got to be like within a very specific dollar amount. Like it's nearly impossible. Like the only way, like the easiest way to sort of make a deal like that is to make one or two deals before that that get you below the apron and then make the trade, because then it takes away a lot of the restrictions from the trade. And that's something that, like, I think would be pretty
difficult.
I don't
know. Maybe the Sacramento Kings get that first round pick they supposedly been looking for. Shoot that to Boston and boom. You guys get Drew. We get Giannis. Everyone's happy.
Yeah. Okay.
See, James is in.
All right. Well, let's get to a couple of things that that Jake Gayden talked about yesterday. Jake Gayden from CBS 13 was here with me yesterday.
Shout out, Jake.
And Jake had a couple of information which I thought were interesting. Number one, his first thing that he's heard from his sources in Boston, of course, Jake is an East Coast guy, is that the Kings are kind of out of the Jrue Holiday sweepstakes because, you know, they already have better offers.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm going to guess that any trade with the Kings and the Boston Celtics was built around any trade offer was built around the contract of DeMar DeRozan. And if you're a team that's looking to get younger and pick up for draft picks and stuff, like the Kings shouldn't be giving up, you know, again, if you're going to get, let's just say Devin Carter and DeMar DeRozan for Jrue Holiday, right? That's a deal that like financially works and would actually save Boston a ton of money next year. So you get a young player and you get a veteran who's going to score 20 for you no matter what, right? And the salaries match. But the problem is if they truly want to get younger, if I'm the Kings, I'm not giving up a first-round pick for a 35-year-old point guard that's owed $104 million over the next 3 years and has already shown steep decline.
Yeah, the move just, to me, doesn't make sense for where Sacramento is trying to go. Because it's like, sure, we should, like, say, sure, they make the trade for Drew, and you do get a decent year out of him. We've seen, like you said, the decline already. You still got two more years of Jrue Holiday you have to deal with, where it's just like, how much more is that decline going to happen?
Well, and for me, like, watching the decline of Mike Conley is realistically what you're looking at. And the reason why Mike Conley works as a guy who just brings a ball up and then passes it off and it isn't part of most of what they're doing, averages like 9 points a game. The reason why that works is because they have the pieces around them to really just have a true, like, not even a facilitator of an offense, a guy who brings the ball up.
Yeah.
And that's all you're really paying. You're paying Mike Conley as a stabilizing force.
Exactly. He has his set role where it's like, anywhere, a lot of other places, it's not going to work. But for Mike Conley and the Timberwolves, like, this is exactly what they need.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's really difficult to see a trade between those two teams working out. And so hearing that from Jake, you know, makes sense. It makes sense for the Boston side, too, because if they are looking to get younger, you know, bringing in DeMar DeRozan doesn't help you. The only way that it helps you is it frees you up of a massive amount of money next year. Because you have a $10 million buyout on DeMar DeRozan's contract. So I'd much rather pay a $10 million buyout for DeMar DeRozan than another $35 million for Jrue Holiday.
Yeah, for a few more seasons.
Yeah, because that $25 million could equal, you know, close to $100 million in luxury tax dollar. Yeah, it's that much.
Yeah.
So the other thing that Jake brought up is that he's heard that the Kings might be looking to move into the lottery. And I have heard that, like, there is a potential for the Kings to move into the back end of the first round, even all the way into, like, the teens, like the mid-teens. I would, again, circle a team like Brooklyn, who walks into this, like, this year's draft with four first-round picks, but three of them are in the 20s. I think one of those picks in the 20s is totally, totally gettable. I don't know what it's going to cost you, but that's something that I would at least keep an eye on for Kings fans. But the problem that I have with this is I'm not sure that a pick at 16 is going to help you, or a pick at 21 or 25 is going to help you all that much.
Does, like, that kind of give us a sense of the direction they're trying to head in? Maybe they've said, like, just win. I don't know. I feel like we've kind of just said, like, oh, yeah, they're trying to win, but more so, no, it could be a little bit of a rebuild this season.
Well,
where like maybe you put your front foot out next year?
I think it more tells you that there might be a deal out there that the Kings are working on where they move one of their contracts for, you know, maybe either breaking up that contract or taking on a lesser player.
Yeah.
And they're getting a pick back in that trade. So, again, I don't know that, you know, if you were to trade Malik Monk at $20 million and bring back like a $16 million player or an $18 million player and a young player, but the quality of player doesn't match Malik Monk's quality, then they might have to sweeten the deal with a first round pick.
Gotcha.
And so I think there is that possibility where the Kings are sort of movers and shakers in that way and they take back a pick. But again, I think that's, in a lot of ways, it might be admitting defeat or at least trying to clear out a bunch of stuff so you can move forward next season. And so in a sense, it might be a rebuild type deal, but we're going to have to wait and see.
There's a lot, just from what we've talked about, there's a lot of different ways this Kings team can go this offseason.
Well, there's a ton of different ways.
Whether it's just DeMar, whether it's, like we said, the fan favorites that could possibly or whatever.
Whether it's all of them.
Yeah, it's just, like you said, it's just literally everything. Everything is on the table, it seems, right now.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? When we come back, we're going to discuss that because taking a step back and trying to view this from a Kings lens, like how is it that you move forward without moving backwards to do that? And I think there are ways to do that, but it's not going to be easy. We're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll see you in just a few minutes.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Jesse Tapia is joining me today. He's pulling double duty, working the board and hanging out with me here. And
doing anything I can. Shout out.
It's different, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little nerving or whatever because we're just on the radio, pressing buttons or whatever. It's just, all right, make sure I got this, and that. Did I press everything? Because literally, if you miss one little button, like anything could go wrong.
Then you're not on the air.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing that can go wrong.
Yeah.
Every once in a while it happens. And that's why I never want to sit over there and be the guy pushing buttons.
Old building. Shout out Madison. The way the setup used to be, we used to have this old school 1970s to 90s board, I'm assuming. I don't know. Pick a decade.
Yeah.
Whatever. And like it was there. But in order to turn on the board, there was a button over here where all the little setups were. So if you had the whole board set up here, like, cool, great. If you didn't hit that one button, like, you weren't on air.
Oh.
So there was maybe once or twice where little Jesse coming up as a producer and all that. Wait, we're not on. Wait, oh, I got to hit the button.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We always know things have gone horribly wrong when Charlie comes running down the hallway.
Oh, yeah. I've kind of
we see if I see Charlie out of the corner, like, oh, no, Charlie's behind me. Mm-hmm. That means that realistically that Kyle didn't hit the button.
I've got this reaction where if I see Seth, Jonathan or Matt, shout out Matt, he just started here. If they're walking here or whatever and I see them come to the glass to my studio, I immediately peek up at the TV to see if we're on air. It doesn't even matter. It's just, oh, we have to be off air if they're coming here.
And that's what Kyle does.
Yeah.
And then one time I looked up to make sure we were on the air and he's like, you're checking on me. And I'm like, well.
Hey, It's like that one time you left me in program one when I was during the break or whatever, and I kept asking him after that. It's just like it's stuck in your head, your brain after that.
Well, I just, you know, sometimes you need a gentle reminder.
Yeah. I'm never too careful, too. Like, if I mess up once, I'm like, all right, I cannot make that mistake again. So I'll, like, overdo it, just make sure I got it and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably a little tedious, but.
All right, so let's get into this. Man, the Kings are in such a strange spot, right? Like, they're a team that's trying to not be a rebuild team. They're trying to be a reboot team. They've got a new general manager. He, of course, is going to want to bring in his people. He's going to want to have a roster that's shaped in his image, not in the image of Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox.
Yep.
But, you know, sometimes, like, the whole adage, like, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, there should be people on this team that you're looking to hold on to. As of today, I would tell you, I have heard rumors and, like, I don't know how substantial each of them are, but at least conversations that are being had about almost every single player on the Kings roster. And that's not a comfortable place to be in. And we keep hearing this thing from players. I said this yesterday on the Kings Beat podcast with Sean and Brendan. I keep hearing that there are multiple players on this team that want a clear path forward. They want to know that this is going to be a stable environment.
Yeah.
And they're done with instability. And there are multiple players on this roster that are like, okay, can we stabilize at all? Or is this going to be nothing but change? And if it's nothing but change, and if you can't tell me what path we're going down, then go ahead and add me to whatever trades you're doing, because I don't want to be here anymore.
That I understand. But also, like, what's the change? Is it just switching head coaches or whatever? Because it's like, I'm sorry, as far as, like, them not achieving the success over the last few years and not getting deals done, like, the players got to wear that too.
I get that.
I don't see it as just, oh, yeah, the front office, this dumb front office, this and that, and we can talk about Monty McNair, Wes Wilcox, Vivek all we want. I'm with you. Not you, but just people in general. Like, yes, they have issues there as well, like, where they kind of put their name on the test and all that stuff, as you guys like to say. But it's also, like, Domantas Sabonis, if you're one of these people or whatever, like, I feel like you kind of contributed to this.
Okay, so I don't disagree, right?
Like I said, just in general, it's just more of like a...
Like, everybody's the, part of it.
Everyone's got to take, like, wear this.
No, I get that, but at the same time, if you're a guy who, let's just take Domantas Sabonis, we can go through a couple of players here, but if you're Domantas Sabonis and you just turned 29 and you're looking at your NBA career and realizing that you put up the same exact stats last year that you did the year before and the year before that, and the year before and the year before that, you made third team all NBA.
Yeah.
But this year you increased your 3-point shooting percentage to a career high, like, shot in the 40s. You led the league in rebounding again, but that rebounding number jumped to your highest career total. Your points per game were right in line where they have been every year. Everything else that you did, your field goal percentage, everything was just about the same. But you didn't make All-NBA because your team was a 10th seed and barely hung on for the 10th seed and was 42, whatever it was. I think that was their final record. Like, you got to be looking around and going, okay, like, look, am I going to squander, like, the 3 or 4 years I have left of prime basketball on a franchise that is directionless and that doesn't have an idea of where they're going?
I get that as well, but also, like, Domas, what did you do for me in the play-in game?
Yeah, but...
Like, when it came down to winning time and, like, hey, we have a chance at playoffs. It's been ugly all season long, no doubt. Haven't been able to find a flow or whatever. But hey, we have an opportunity here. You're the guy.
Like, okay, I get that.
What happened there?
I get that. But at the same time, if you're Domas, you're looking, like, if you're anybody on that roster, if you thought you had a chance at the playoffs, like, it was, like, really distant, because not only did you have to beat Dallas, but then you'd have to, who was the next team that Dallas got smoked by? Was it
Memphis, I think.
It was Memphis. Yeah. But then you were just, like, getting in line to get smoked by the Oklahoma City Thunder.
That's fine, but I still, like...
Making the playoffs is enough, but then what do we do when he gets to the playoffs and everybody blames him because you can't get through the Thunder, And now you're the guy who, again...
I don't think that would have happened. I think we were all, if they got to the playoffs, we're expecting a sweep. At least I was and all that. But it's just more so like, that's fine. If you want to know what direction we're heading in and this, this, and that, cool. But also, like, when it gets down to the nitty-gritty and we get to the play-in, playoff, whatever, like, Kevon Looney shut you down one time.
Yeah.
And then we got to the Dallas Mavericks play-in game and you were nowhere to be found. Like I said, it's a two-way street here.
No, I get you. I get you. But I would also, I look at that this last season as everybody on that roster was like, well, this season is over. Let's just get out of here.
Yeah.
And again,
it wasn't something easy for the players to go to. I mean, DeMar DeRozan talked about it on the playoffs and all that.
Yeah. I mean, you fired a head coach.
Or the playoff podcast he was on, yeah.
You traded your best player.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you traded your best player and Domantas Sabonis is your best player. And it's like, wait a sec. I didn't sign up to be the best player here. I get paid like one of the best players, and he is one of the best players, but there's a big difference between that and being the focal point, being the best player on a playoff team, and like that's not who he is. I don't consider Domas a 1A.
I don't remember who threw it in the chatty house last week or whatever it was, but they put it perfectly. He, in the perfect world or whatever, he's the Kevin Love to someone's Kyrie and LeBron James.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, again, I don't...
Yeah, he's not a bad player or anything like that. It's just more so like, he's just not a top guy on a team or whatever. And as far as this conversation goes, it's like, I see, like, yeah, like, the Kings are not free of anything that they've done. Like, there's dysfunction there and all that they dealt with the last few seasons. And who knows, it might still be there after this season. Like, continued. Who knows? But also, it's like, yeah, I get that. But if... whoever it is, like I said, we've been talking about Domas, like, there's some things you got to wear here as well.
No, I get that. Mm-hmm. But how do you balance, like, okay.
It's just more so, like, lock in with us rather than, hey, I need to see something. Like, that's my point, I guess. Just lock in with what we got going on and be like, yeah, I didn't do my part. Like, things were bad. But, like, just kind of like, all right, let's fix this, you know?
No, I get that. I get that. But at the same time, in the NBA, there are ways that, like, it's pretty clear if you don't have X, Y, and Z, if you don't have the right mix of players,
mm-hmm.
you are not going to be able to find success.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that the Kings don't have another forward on the roster outside of, you know, Keegan Murray right now, as we sit here. I mean, I guess we can count DeMar DeRozan as a forward, but that you don't have another guy who's 6'8", 6'9". That's not Isaac Jones, who's on a non-guaranteed deal, who might not be back next season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a problem.
Yeah, I get that. I get it. But also, like, it's just, I think we're all kind of on the same, like, you need a lot around Domas, but also it's like, I don't know, like, he's not a franchise guy to me, and it's just, if you're trying to call shots or whatever, it's just, that doesn't make sense to me, I guess. But if he and the Kings see it, where it's like, yeah, we're probably better off mutually parting ways and we'll send you to wherever, this, this, and that, or whoever, whatever play you want to insert, like, that's fine too.
So, but the other problem is that I'm wondering, how do you build a team and at the same time find stability? How do you have stability while trading half your roster? Because that's, like, again, it's a difficult task here. It's like everyone is asking, again, like a guy,
you
like,
don't have any stability right now, so you got to kind of like just restart, I guess, in a sense where it's like, if you want to go forward with Domas and LaVine or insert whatever players, that's fine. But like the trades is fine too. It's just a matter of, if you rebuild, you can't go back and forth. If you rebuild or whatever, it looks ugly this season. There's no we need Doug Christie to make the playoffs next year. Like, the stability starts with, if we want to call it a rebuild right now or whatever, like, where you're trading Domas and whoever, it's like, all right, somebody starts with Doug Christie and Scott Perry being here for at least 3 years and seeing that through at least, maybe even four. That's how you get your stability. That's how you get it in the organization, not necessarily through, we want to keep stability or whatever, so we're not going to trade Domas or any of these guys, not like any, just talking in general or whatever, but like, yeah, we're going to trade a couple and just kind of stick with what we got. That's not necessarily the only way you build stability. It's just, you need to come up with a plan and stick to that and see it through for a few years rather than, we got to make the playoffs this year, get this guy out, get this guy player in, and come on, let's make this work.
Yeah, I think that that's the most difficult thing. It's like, how do you think of stability? How do you build stability
mm-hmm.
while switching everything out? Like, again, I think giving Doug Christie the job at least has some stability because Doug has been there.
Yeah.
He's been there for not just the last 50-something games of the season, but for the last 4 years as an assistant. So you at least have, you know, the players know Doug, and Domas knows Doug,
mm-hmm.
right? Keegan Murray knows Doug. So that's one aspect. And then you build a coaching staff. Bobby Jackson's back. People in the organization, these players, a lot of them were here with Bobby before. They know him. They know Leandro Barbosa. That's one thing. when you switch out of front office, that's just something that happens. And yeah. And once that happens, it's like, I will say that there is continuity outside of the fact that, you know, you brought in Scott Perry and BJ Armstrong. The rest of the front office is pretty similar. You still have an Alvin Gentry there. You still have a Paul Johnson. You still have Phil Jabbour. So there are familiar faces. The training staff hasn't been swapped out. The pieces that have been swapped out are pieces that maybe the Kings that the players actually didn't even really talk to, like advanced scouts. So Scott Layden isn't coming back. Like they're you know, advanced scouts the scouting department that aren't coming back, or the analytics department that aren't coming back. But at the same time, those aren't your key pieces that you would think of as like stability within an organization.
Yeah.
Like, I think the same training staff, that helps you. The same, you know, not just training, but the guys who are sitting there working with the players every day.
Yeah, all that stuff matters. You bring stability. Like, it's not just with the 10, 12 guys on the court or whatever who are suiting up. It's the entire organization. So it's all hands on deck type of thing.
No, I think so too. All right, we're going to continue this discussion because there are players that are available, and some of them make sense and some of them don't, and they don't make sense because of the stability thing that we're talking about. Does bringing in a one-year rental of a player help build stability? And the answer is it probably doesn't. And so how do you manage trying to fill out a roster and build something the right way with trying to keep everybody moving the right direction and on the same page? We're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We will be back in just a couple of minutes.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.